My privilege to read the scripture tonight. I'm going to read from Acts chapter 12, beginning at verse 6. Now when Herod was about to bring him out on that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries before the door were guarding the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him, saying, "Get up quickly." And the chains fell off his hands, and the angel said to him, "Dress yourself and put on your sandals." And he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And he went out and followed him. He did not know what was being done by the angel, that it was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they had passed the first and the second guard, they came to the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them of its own accord. And they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel left him. When Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting."
Have you ever said the words, "I can drive that road with my eyes closed"? If you've ever worked a job that you drove the same road every day, or went to school, or for whatever purpose you're on the same road every day, after a while you get used to that road. You know where every hole is and every turn. And after a while, you could be away from that road for a while, and when you come back, you can drive it just like you always did before. I can go back to Preston County now, and I've been gone 32 years. Scenery's changed a lot. A lot of buildings there that weren't there before, but the road is the same. And I can drive all those roads back home. I know just how fast to take each turn. I don't take them as fast as I used to, but I know what I can do on those. I had a teacher in high school that lived about 10 miles from the school, and her husband lived 15 miles beyond, worked 15 miles beyond the school. And a lot of times he would work midnight shift, and so she'd be coming to work in the mornings early, and he'd be on his way home. And so that 10 miles between their house and school, they would usually pass each other. And she would be expecting him, and she'd see him coming, and she'd wave, and she said almost every day when he drove by, his eyes were closed. Which was a scary thing for her. I don't know if he drove with his eyes closed the whole time or not, but that was what she saw. But when we get accustomed to a route or to a habit or to something that we do, we tend to be able to do it without thinking. Have you ever been driving and you maybe come to a stop sign and you stop and you look around and you're like, "I don't remember the last two stop signs. I don't remember turning onto this road"? It's happened to a lot of us. It's happened to me before. And you know, our brains are amazing things. When we get into a routine, sometimes we can do things unconsciously. And sometimes that's a good thing because it helps us to accomplish things while we're maybe thinking about something else. And that's usually what happens in that situation. It's not that we've been asleep. It's that we've been thinking about something, we've been trying to work something out in our mind, and our mind is thinking about that, and our body is continuing to drive down the road. I want to talk about some folks who have been in situations similar to that in the scriptures, and then talk about how that can apply to us spiritually. In the text that Mark read in Acts chapter 12, Peter was in prison. Herod the king had been doing violent things to the church and to the people in the church, and he had actually killed James, the brother of John, and he got such a good response from the Jews that he decided he was going to go after Peter too. And so he had put Peter in prison, and the night before he was going to kill Peter was when the angel came to Peter, and we see what Mark read to us. And Peter was asleep. And I've heard it taught and preached that Peter obviously had a lot of faith. He obviously trusted God a lot. He was in a situation where he knew he was probably going to die, and he was asleep. I don't know if Peter was had that much faith, or if Peter was just the kind of guy that could sleep anywhere. Because remember, it had only been a few months before that Jesus had left him and the other disciples in the garden and said, I'm going to go over here and pray. And they knew something was up. They knew it was a bad night because of the mood that Jesus was in. And remember, Jesus was going off and praying, and Jesus said, stay here and watch and pray, and I'll be back in a little while. Jesus comes back, Peter's sound asleep. And so Jesus wakes him up, and he says, I need you to watch and pray just a little bit longer. I'm going to go back. And when he came back, Peter was sound asleep again. So I don't necessarily buy into the idea that Peter was so comfortable in that cell that he could sleep that way. But the angel wakes him up. The chains fall off his hands. The doors open. They walk out past the guards, and they go out into the street. Peter thinks he's dreaming. Peter thinks that he's asleep, and he's seeing this vision. And so if you've ever been in a dream that seemed really real, but you knew it was a dream, you're waiting to see what happens. And when the angel left Peter out in the street, it says Peter came to himself. Peter realized at that point, it was almost like he came to the stoplight. He looked around and the angel wasn't there anymore. And he realized that what was happening was real, that God had just saved his life, and that now he had a mission. He could continue to carry out what Jesus had given him to do. And I want to spend some time tonight on this idea that Peter came to himself. He had been in a situation. He was asleep. He thought he was still asleep. He thought he was seeing a vision. But then he came to himself. Something happened that caused him to do that. Another person that we read about in Scripture that happened to was the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. And if you remember, and we talk about this probably once a month or so, but the prodigal son had gone to his dad and he said, I want my inheritance now. I'm going to go out and do whatever I want. And so his dad gave it to him. And Luke writes to us in chapter 15, he says, not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. So this man, this younger son, had an idea in his mind of what life was going to be like, and he had an idea that he was ready for it. And so he said to his dad, he said, give me what's coming to me. I'm going to go, and I'm going to go live my life. And we see that he squandered everything that he had. We see that he got himself into a situation where he was starving. And who knows how long this took, but eventually he came to himself. And so he got himself into a situation where he was either going to die or he was going to realize that what he had at home was better than what he had left for. And so we see that he came to himself. When he came to himself, then he made the right decision, and he went back home to his father, who was willing to accept him and to have him back. Those are the two passages that use the phrase, they came to themselves. But there are other passages in Scripture that talk about people who were in situations where they were maybe going along not thinking about what they were doing, not realizing what they were doing, but something happened in each of those situations where they came to themselves. The first one I thought about were the Jews on the day of Pentecost. When Peter got up to preach that first gospel sermon, there was a crowd of Jews there in town. They'd come there for the feast. Many of those Jews may have been in the same crowd that called for Jesus to be crucified. Many of them, you know, may have been in situations where they didn't believe in Jesus. They thought that Jesus was someone who was blaspheming and someone who was claiming to be the Son of God and wasn't. But they were in the situation where they're able to hear Peter preach this sermon. And as they're hearing that, as they hear the truth, as they hear the message, the good news about Jesus Christ, it says that they were cut to the heart. And they said, "Men and brethren, what should we do?" And so we see in this account that we're giving of this sermon that they heard and of their response to that sermon that they came to themselves. They had believed something to be right. They had believed themselves to be okay. They had believed that their religion was what was going to save them. But when they heard the truth, when they heard gospel, when they heard Peter preach that gospel sermon, they came to themselves. And we know that they did that because they said, "What should we do?" And when Peter told them what they needed to do, which was to repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins, they did that. And so we know that they came to themselves. And then there was another man who believed that he was doing the right thing. He persecuted the church because he believed that the church was not God's will, and that's Saul. And we see that Saul, on the way to Damascus to persecute more Christians, came to himself. Something happened on that road to let him know that he wasn't on the right road. In Acts chapter 26, and there's two or three different accounts that Paul gives about his conversion, but I picked the one in chapter 26, because when he's talking to Agrippa, he describes what he was doing before, and he believed that he was right. He believed that he was serving God by persecuting the church. And he describes himself, he describes that attitude that he had by saying, "I myself was convinced that I ought to do many things in opposing the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And I did so in Jerusalem. I not only locked up many of the saints in prison after receiving authority from the chief priests, but when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in all the synagogues and tried to make them blaspheme. And in raging fury against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. In this connection, I journeyed to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. At midday, I saw on the way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun that shone around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew language, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goats.' And I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And the Lord said, 'I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen me and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me.'" Saul came to himself on the road. It may have been when he saw the light, it may have been when he heard the voice, but he knew that he had been wrong, even though he was convinced that he had been right. He knew that he had been wrong, And so he came to himself, and we see him obey Jesus from that point on. He went on into town. He waited for Ananias. And when he was given that commission, we see him faithfully carry that out until death. And so we see Saul come to himself in that situation. One more story, and we go back to Peter. Good old Peter's in the middle of this story all the way. Back in Matthew 26, after he woke up the last time in the garden, and the soldiers came and arrested Jesus, and even though he had said, "I'll never leave you, even if I have to die with you, I will never leave you." When the soldiers came and arrested Jesus and everybody ran, Peter ran with them. Now he knew that he wasn't right because he hung back, he hung close. He was still in the courtyard while Jesus was being tried. But yet when people would recognize him or accuse him and say, "You were with him, you were with Jesus." And he was afraid and he didn't want to be recognized. He didn't want to be associated with this man that was on trial, because by everything that Peter had seen, this man was going to die. And maybe everyone who had been with him was going to die. And so Peter was afraid. And so he said, "No, it wasn't me." And he did that three times. When Peter came to himself this time, in Matthew 26 and verse 74, it says, "After the third time, he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, 'I do not know the man.' And immediately the rooster crowed." And we know that Peter came to himself when that rooster crowed, because he remembered the saying of Jesus, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. And so we see examples of people in Scripture who are driving down the road with their eyes closed. They think that they're right. They believe that they're right. Some of them are doing things in the name of God because they think that it's the right thing. Some of them are maybe not really doing anything because they think they're okay. And yet at some point they all came to themselves. Paul writes about that in our text tonight in Ephesians chapter 5. He's writing to the Ephesians, he's writing to Christians about things that they get caught up in, things that people can get caught up in their lives that blind them to what's really going on, things that they get comfortable with and that maybe distract them and keep them from doing the will of God, or maybe keep them from obeying God in the first place. The specific things he talks about in Ephesians chapter 5 are sexual immorality and impurity and covetousness. And those are all things that blind us. Those are all things that we can get caught up in and be going down the road and maybe go many, many miles before we realize how deeply we've gotten into these things. But those are just three things that are examples of what Paul talks about. There are all kinds of things that that we can close our eyes to and get into situations like this. But after Paul talks about that for a little while, in verse 14 he says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Wake up. I like that Paul wrote it this way, because this is a good time to insert it in a sermon. I've sat through enough sermons that I realize about what time you need to shout, "Wake up!" But more important than tonight, when we're a little drowsy, What Paul says is there's a time for us to wake up. There's a time for us to come to ourselves and realize where we are in our relationship with God. And Paul tells us what he means and how we can wake up as he goes on there through the rest of our text in Ephesians chapter 5. He says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." He tells us to wake up. He tells the Ephesians, who have been involved in sexual immorality and impurity and covetousness, he says it's time to wake up and come back to God. And he gives us basically three things that we can do that will help us come to ourself. First, he says to look carefully how you walk, not as unwise but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. If you're looking carefully at how you walk, you're not going to end up on a street corner where you don't know how you got there. Paul says, look carefully how you walk. Think about what you're doing. Think carefully about the decisions that you make so that you won't find yourself in a place that you don't know how you got there, or you don't remember what you did for the last 10 minutes or 2 days. Look carefully how you walk. The second thing that he says is to do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The way that we understand what the will of the Lord is to read his word, in which he reveals his will to us, and to study it, and to make it a part of us. Understand what that is. Don't just take what we've always thought or what we've always believed or even what we've always been taught and just keep on going down the road the way that we are. But study it. Look into the word and compare what we read to what we're doing. Compare the attitudes that God says we need to have toward him and towards other people and towards each other, and compare that to the attitudes that we portray every day, to the attitudes that we live out. Make that comparison. Understand what the will of the Lord is. And the third one is, he describes it as not getting drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Don't put yourself under the control of things that will cause you to drive with your eyes closed. Being drunk with wine is one good example, and he probably had a specific reason for using that specific example here. But being drunk with wine is giving control of yourself up to something else. And what Paul says we need to be under control of is the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit of God, not with the spirit of something that's going to control us and take us somewhere that we don't want to go. And so if we're going to wake up, if we're going to come to ourselves, we need to do that by looking carefully how we walk, understanding what the will of the Lord is, and being filled with his Spirit, submitting to him, submitting to the Spirit, and allowing that Spirit to give us the self-control that we need to stay on the right path, to stay on the right road, and to do so in such a way that we know what we're doing and that we're not surprised by where we end up. If you're someone that's here tonight and you don't know God, you don't know how to obey him, let the word that you've heard tonight wake you up and ask, what do I need to do? And we're going to sing a song here in a little while, and you can come forward and we can help you to see what the scriptures say. We can help you to understand what the will of the Lord is, to know what it is that you should do. If you're lost and you know what you need to do, but you've never obeyed the gospel, then you need to wake up and realize that when you come to God, He'll come running to you. And if you're a Christian who have been denying Jesus, either by falling away, by not being faithful, or by not being involved in the good works that you were created to do, it's time to wake up, to come to yourself, and to come back to Him. And for all of us tonight, the message is that just like Peter in the garden, Jesus left us with a responsibility. And we do not want to be asleep when He comes back this next time. So if there's any need that you have tonight that we can help you to meet, we ask you to come forward now while we stand and sing this song.